by the news. But that being said, moving forward, we believe we will win the appeal because it's right and it's just. And what went on was unjust and inconceivable. So we will put our trust in the appeals process. And we believe that everything we have done should have sufficed. And we think we'll come away totally intact with everything we believe in.
If Louisville loses the appeal, they may have to forfeit wins, including possibly the 2013 national championship. Baseball today, the White Sox beat the Orioles 5-2, Twins over the Mariners 6-2, Indians beat the Dodgers 12-5, but maybe the most important baseball game of the day is the Congressional Game for Charity in Washington, D.C., which has already raised more than $1 million.
Jose Altuve and the Astros have been the hottest team in baseball. This weekend, they host Mookie Betts and the Red Sox at Minute Maid Park for a weekend series. Red Sox, Astros, Saturday and Sunday at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Hey guys, Overhead Door is recruiting installers. Here's Overhead President Derek Powell.
Are you happy in your current job? Are you interested in work that is never dull and full of opportunity? Overhead Door is a local leader in the door business, and our 35 employees will tell you they enjoy coming to work. That matters to me, and I own the company.
Excellent training wage, signing bonus, and benefits. OverheadCRIC.com. Please apply in person.
Thinking about your summer vacation? Toes in the sand, hiking the trails, taking a dip in the pool. Days Inn can help you get there. With over 1,600 locations, no matter where your travels take you, there's always a Days Inn nearby. Bask in the sun and save now on your fun-filled vacation at Days Inn. Stay two nights and save 20%. Plus earn 1,000 Wyndham Rewards bonus points when you book at daysinn.com. Terms and conditions apply.
I love to play it safe, especially when it comes to my facility and my guys. Everyone's got their PPE. Safe boots, safe goggles, safe gloves, safe everything. If I could make the vending machine safer around here, I would. Believe me, I've tried. That's why I love Grainger. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got my back. They help keep my facility safe and my people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, I wouldn't be here without my dad.
It's Father's Day weekend, and Martin Truex Jr. discusses the impact of his dad on his racing career next. I'm Susie Armstrong, and this is Ned Jarrett's World of Racing.
AutoZone presents Wash and Wax. Washing your car removes road grime and dirt buildup that can scratch your car's finish, while a good coat of wax helps protect that beautiful shine. And with summer right around the corner, it's the perfect time to pick up Armor All Protectant Wipes for just $3.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Victory Junction was young race driver Adam Petty's dream. He worked toward building a camp where children with serious medical conditions could concentrate on fun and not their illness or disease. When he died tragically, his family and friends around NASCAR made sure that dream came true. Today, Victory Junction is a camp that provides fun, life-changing experiences to children dealing with illnesses and disabilities, all at no cost to the camper. Help us serve more children by visiting victoryjunction.org.
Martin Truex Jr. is a second-generation NASCAR driver, as his father, Martin Sr., raced in the Xfinity and the K&N Pro Series. Truex says he wouldn't have a career in racing if it hadn't been for his dad.
Well, I wouldn't be here without my dad. That's, you know, it's plain and simple. He was, he grew up racing. He was my hero. That's the only reason I knew anything about it, you know. So I can remember going to the track as a young kid, as young as I can remember, probably, you know, 4 or 5 years old, to watch him and to learn from him and just hanging around the garage and shops that he had over the years. And that was the only thing I ever cared about. That was the only thing I wanted to do. So I started racing because of him. I would have never got into racing, and I certainly would have never made it to the level I'm at today.
To all the dads out there, enjoy your Father's Day weekend. I'm Susie Armstrong, and this is the World of Racing on the Motor Racing Network.
6:05, welcome into the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa. Beautiful, beautiful night out. Maybe you're going to be grilling out in the backyard. Maybe you plan on getting home from work, or you're home from work, getting ready to do a little yard work, although And it's not exactly as if the grass is growing right now with all of the sun and lack of rain that we've had for the most part here in eastern Iowa. But one of these weeks, I'll have to worry about going home and firing up the lawnmower again. Jerry Ask Investment Services text lines available for you. 319-366-1600. The primetime league draft last night, and no surprise, but so used to talking about Iowa baseball this week and former players, but no surprise, Tyler Cook goes off the board number one in the primetime league draft. The rosters are set. Six teams in the league this year, and PTL Commissioner Randy Larson set to join us tomorrow at Coach's Corner at 5 o'clock. Randy's going to preview the 31st season of primetime league basketball. One player not participating this year is Connor McCaffrey, the walk-on who's going to be a two-sport player at Iowa. Will be focusing on baseball, I believe, this summer. He's playing his senior season at Iowa City West, and that makes it a little bit easier because you're only limited to two players from a school on a roster. So primetime league roster is set. We'll talk with Randy coming up tomorrow at Coach's Corner. Also, Jack Dom will stop by, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, for his weekly segment, Touching All Bases. We'll have plenty of baseball to chat with Jack about, including what he thinks of the Cubs batting Anthony Rizzo in the leadoff spot. We want to hear from you right now. I know a lot of Cub fans out there have been watching this, and it's been entertaining to say the least. Rizzo leading off the last two games with solo home runs. I think he's 3-for-9 as the newly minted leadoff hitter. It's the poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. How long or does Anthony Rizzo remain as the designated hitter? Listen to me. It's almost as if my microphone fell off in front of me and I'm holding it here and distracted, but that could never be the case in the KGYM studios. Should Anthony Rizzo remain as the leadoff hitter for the Chicago Cubs? The Emil's Hideaway poll question available at KGYMRadio.com. It's really a shame that I blocked that guy on the text line 2 hours ago, because if he's still listening, I'm sure he's got some very in-depth thoughts on the last 2 minutes or so here on the program. Cub fans, we want to hear from you. Your thoughts on whether or not Anthony Rizzo stays atop the Cubs lineup, or has the novelty already worn off for you? 319-366-1600. Cubs not in action tonight. They head to Pittsburgh and PNC Park, where they'll open up a series against the Pirates tomorrow with Eddie Butler on the mound. Cardinals and Brewers wrapping up their series tonight. That is the finale, correct?
That is correct.
Tonight, that's what I thought. White Sox already a winner today. That comes on the heels of, I wouldn't say a devastating loss last night, but former Cub Wellington Castillo coming up with a big home run for the Orioles to propel them to victory. And then, as we've mentioned today, the Minnesota Twins riding the pitching of former Cedar Rapids Colonel right-hander Jose Berríos for 8 strong innings before turning it over to Brandon Kinsler and the bullpen. Phil Miller from the Minneapolis Star Tribune set to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour to talk a little bit about the Twins. MLB.com. And we got a preview of this yesterday. Tim McMaster was on the program, and he did say that he thought his colleague Jim Callis was going to write a piece that said the Twins had the best draft out of any of the 30 teams. Kind of easy to do when you've got that number one overall pick, but they could have screwed this up. They could have drafted Royce Lewis and then just pocketed the savings. They chose not to do that, and they drafted some really interesting players, a good mix of high upside guys, and then a college player like Brent Rooker at Mississippi State, who was at Target Field today and was expected to sign his contract to get his professional career underway. Of course, Rooker, a 23-year-old college senior, really has no other options at this point. But MLB.com says the Twins had the best draft, followed by the Cincinnati Reds. So again, kind of anticlimactic when you've got the number one and number two teams with, quote-unquote, the best drafts. but neither the Twins nor the Reds seemingly screwed things up with these first and second round picks. First and number one and number two picks, I should say.
I find it interesting that when, even with the hype around Hunter Green, even with the Sports Illustrated feature and the comparisons, not only for his pitching prowess, but for his ability to hit as well, that nobody really is saying that the Minnesota Twins passing on Hunter Green was a bad move. Nobody is sitting here and second-guessing the Minnesota Twins. Now, we talk about the MLB draft and how much of a crapshoot it really is. In a couple years, if Hunter Green turns out to be a superstar and Royce Lewis doesn't, then that's really when you see the second-guessing coming about. But it'll be interesting to see how Brendan McKay, kind of his situation, continues to evolve with the Tampa Bay Rays organization, and how Kyle Wright kind of comes along, because both of those players were kind of the players, the consensus rumors as to which direction the Minnesota Twins were going to go, and then all of a sudden they decide that Royce Lewis was their guy last second.
U.S. Open continuing the first round play today in Wisconsin at Erin Hills. Ricky Fowler with an outstanding first round of 7-under. You don't normally see that at the U.S. Open, where the course traditionally chews these players up and spits them out. But Fowler firing a 65 today. That's a two-stroke lead over three golfers, Brian Harman, Brooks Koepka, and Tommy Fleetwood. Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson at 1-under par, so 6 strokes off of the lead set by Ricky Fowler. Zach continuing play tomorrow and looking like he'll be in good position, barring some sort of meltdown, where he will make the cut and stick around for the weekend. And that comes as good news, or welcome news, I should say, to our very own Scott Unash, who will be at Erin Hills this weekend for at least one day of competition. And I'm sure he'll be following Zach Johnson around. I believe Mike Halas from the Cedar Rapids Gazette is making the trip to Wisconsin as well.
That's a lot of walking.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And I've been to a professional golf event before, but I've never been to a major. But it's a workout. If you want, you can stay in one place and just park yourself on a hole and see everybody, or you can choose to be a member of the gallery that follows guys like Jordan Spieth or Jason Day around. And then if you're going to do that, you're going to watch them play 18 holes. Yeah, that is a ton of walking.
I mentioned before that I have gone to one. It was the senior PGA event. It was the U.S. Open for the seniors.
Was this in the St. Louis area?
It was at Belrive Country Club a few years ago. I'm trying to think. I think it was either.
Are you a member of the country club?
I am not.
Okay.
I am not.
Member of a country club?
I am not.
Okay. I didn't know.
Not anymore.
Okay. No. Oh, not anymore. There was an incident?
No, okay. There wasn't. But okay. No longer. We decided that we were going to sit in the grandstand and watch everybody come through. And then at the end, we went to the 18th hole and kind of kept up and found out when that last group was coming through. I think that's what most people do, right? Unless they either A, have betting interest in the event, or B, have a favorite player. Will Scott literally follow Zach for 18 holes? That seems like you talked about, a workout.
Did you yell, "Get in the hole"?
Were you that guy? I was not that guy.
Get in the hole!
On a par five, no? 500 yards, okay. off the drive, get in the hole. No, that's not me.
Any good autograph stories from the PGA seniors? Did you have any old men tell you to get lost?
No, well, Hale Irwin was not the nicest guy, but I actually didn't ask for autographs, but I saw other people doing it. And
sometimes it's fun just to watch other people get rejected.
Maybe this is too much of a generalization, but in my days of gathering autographs, I've found that golfers can be some of the most unpleasant people. I'm not throwing any names out there, but of all the sports, golfers, they tend not to be big fans of being pestered. And I guess I can't really blame them.
They're sort of the anti-NASCAR driver.
The anti-NASCAR driver?
Danica Patrick went off on a fan earlier, recently. But NASCAR drivers, for the most part, are about as fan-friendly as you can get.
NASCAR drivers, hockey players, both of them.
Yeah, hockey players are just glad you're paying attention to the
exactly,
sport.
Exactly. And then football players, for the most part, they can be hit or miss. But and then it goes baseball. Very hit or miss. And then
okay,
golf.
So let me ask you this. As we've talked about this now twice today, the whole autograph thing. This sort of piggybacks on would you here. But would you willingly live the life of a... Would you embrace the life of a famous person? And I'm not talking about D-list local celebrity. Someone at the Culver's drive-thru sees your name on your debit card and says, oh my God, are you the guy on the radio? To which I normally say, oh, no, I think there's two of us that are here in Cedar
There's
Rapids.
There's two Todd Brommel camps.
There are two Todd Brommel camps. I don't know the other guy. My favorite is the people who ask my wife if she's related to me. And I don't know how to take that, because then I'm like, do they think she's my sister? Or anyway, I digress. I'm not talking about D-list local celebrity chili cook-off judge fame. I did that one time. Got in trouble for it here in the building. Never again. I'm talking about legitimate superstar level. Would you embrace that life and all of the trappings that come with it, the millions of dollars and the endorsements and everything, but you understand that no matter where you go, someone is always going to expect you to be willing to pose for a picture, or sign an autograph, you're out for dinner with your family, people are going to be coming up to the table, they're going to be wanting to take pictures and selfies and get napkins signed and things like that, and there's never going to be an escape from it. But you also have millions of dollars in the bank. Would you trade basically your privacy and a sense of human decency and normalcy for that life and the millions of dollars?
Absolutely. And I think
no
that,
hesitation at all.
No, I
spoken like a man who eats Hy-Vee Chinese all the time because it's cheap and good. Okay.
I understand to a certain extent if somebody's privacy is completely taken away and there are going to be creeps, there are going to be people that come up to you and bother you and harass you. I think there's a definite line to be drawn. But as Lamar Jackson talks about, as...
That's Lamar Jackson, not LeVar Ball.
No, not LeVar Ball. But Lamar Jackson talks about, as Josh Hamilton used to talk about, if a young kid ever comes up to an athlete and asks them for their autograph, I don't care the situation, that athlete, I think, has an obligation to at least acknowledge the kid's existence and to sign something for him. Now, there are instances where you see older men kind of, for lack of a better word, pimping their kids out to try to get autographs. I think that's unacceptable. But if a young kid approaches a professional athlete, that is their one of their heroes. That's somebody that they look up to. The least they can do while they're making millions and millions of dollars per year.
Guys like Rick Pitino.
Exactly. Yeah. Is to sign an autograph and leave that kid with the memory of, okay, well, this guy wasn't a total jerk. Because I think that happens far too often where I think actually Lamar Jackson talked about the reason that he signs for every little kid because he was turned down by Randy Moss as a kid and it left him with the bad thought in his head about Randy Moss. It changed everything that he thought of about Randy Moss. Well, that's a little bit of an extreme situation. Josh Hamilton talked about, his dad said, if you ever make it big in this sport and I ever see you turn a little kid down for an autograph, I'm going to disown you.
I would like to think that I would embrace the money and put up with it. But there's something to be said about, I guess, anonymity. I don't know. I think it's a more difficult discussion, a difficult decision than some people would probably make it out to be. But at the same point in time, like Ricky Fowler, that we were talking in hour number one last year at the Zach Johnson Foundation Classic at Elmcrest, everybody's signing autographs, even Jordan Spieth. He's fantastic, and he wasn't just signing for kids. I mean, there are plenty of adult golf fans who want an autograph from a guy right. that is widely considered to be the next big thing. He's a big thing right now. It's a question of how good is his career going to be. And then there was Ricky Fowler with his Oklahoma State golf bag and the radio cranked up in his golf cart and just completely ignoring everybody. And I thought, okay, yeah, he had a long night because his arrival in Cedar Rapids got delayed, and I could see that. But I talked to somebody that had followed him around, a big fan who had watched him play all day, and said, yeah, never even looked at anybody. And I thought, okay, that's kind of, you know, I guess your prerogative, but maybe throw your fans a bone every now and again. Now, Danica Patrick was chewing a guy out who was claimed he was trying to get an autograph for his sister, I think is what the storyline. Everybody always has a story when they get called
exactly.
out.
Exactly. I agree with you to the extent that athletes, celebrities don't owe anybody anything to a certain extent. But for these athletes, the fan, where would they be without the fans? Where would they be without people following them, people paying for their, in certain sports, paying for their jerseys, paying for tickets, going, basically, their viewership pays for the TV contracts that in golf that eventually pay them their tournament earnings. So, yes, they don't owe anybody anything, but at least throwing the fans a bone every once in a while, I think that there is a little bit of obligation to go around. 309-366-1600 is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. And Ryan from Walford has a story about actually a guest that we have on every Tuesday, Tuesdays with Tommy. Tommy Watkins is a perfect example of a professional. My nephew asked for an autograph at last Saturday's game. He did him one better and invited him into the clubhouse and got everyone's autograph. It's a day he will never forget as long as he lives, and he agrees with us. See, that's the kind of thing that I think is so important for kids, and I was just talking about this, but leaving them with at least the impersonation or at least the idea that the people that they look up to are decent human beings.
Hopefully he didn't see anything else in the locker room that he would remember forever, because sometimes they can be scarring places if you turn a wrong corner or something and see something that you never ever want to see again in your life. 624 equipment situation handled here in the KGYM studios. We're going to step aside and take a quick break. We come back. Kyle Mann will give you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Phil Miller from the Minneapolis Star Tribune set to join us at the bottom of the hour as well. We'll talk a little Minnesota Twins baseball with him. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM. Back after this.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
This Saturday, the first 1,000 fans get a free bobblehead of two-time American League MVP, five-time All-Star, and former Cedar Rapids Colonel Mike Trout. Stick around for our spectacular post-game fireworks. Visit colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Hey, Dave, why is the other Dave chopping down a tree out front?
Well, Mr. Employee of the Month, you said you needed some set.
I said I needed that report ASAP, as in right away.
Oh, so what does that have to do with the tree?
Oh, boy.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
You know, I hear that ad, and the only thing that I can think of is, man, it is expensive to have a tree taken down. And you guys have probably never dealt with this before, because you're a ways away from buying a house. But you never really think of all of the things that you have to deal with when you buy a house. And one of those things is if you have a tree, even if it's one that you like, I've got this tree in the backyard and it looks healthy. And my wife was a little concerned about how close it is to the house and the direction in which it's leaning. And so we had an arborist come out and look at the tree. Yeah, the thing is dying. And it's an emergency, and you've got to get the thing taken out. It's like bare minimum $1,000 to have the tree taken out. And then it's even more if you want them to save the wood for you. You want to get it cut into firewood. You got to pay for that, too. Trees are expensive.
Is that number one on the list of things you don't think about when you're buying
probably,
a house?
Probably. Okay. Yeah.
Expenses.
So you keep that in mind. You too keep that in mind when you're going to buy your first house.
And if you could make a list for us, that would be great.
Take a look. How big is the yard? What's the leaf situation like in the fall? And how many trees are you going to have to deal with?
Well, hopefully that I'm not going to say that I don't want to move into a house anytime soon.
I went into the wrong business. That's pretty much the case. I should have went into the tree business because... And it'll pay. You don't have a choice. It's leave the tree up and then the next storm that comes through blows the thing over onto your house or you pay $1,000 plus to get rid of the damn thing. And I'm like, I guess we'll get rid of it. Do I get to keep the wood? Well, yeah, if you want to pay.
You have to pay more for the wood?
I just said that. So you have to pay more to have them cut it for you into firewood. Otherwise, they just take the tree away. Probably turn it into firewood and sell it to somebody else.
So once they put the chainsaw into it, it's their wood.
Pretty much,
it's their
for the
tree.
Most part.
What if you didn't?
Even it's on your property. That is an interesting business they have going there.
What if you weren't trying to have them cut it up into firewood for you, though? Would they charge extra to just have them leave it lying in your yard?
Oh, I'm sure they gladly would leave it.
Okay.
Yeah, not our problem. As long as the check clears, Matt in Cedar Rapids says, move to Midland, Texas, Alex. There is nothing there.
Yeah, I guess we were talking about Midland earlier on. BJ had a great quote about Midland.
Then you don't have to worry about it. And now texters are sharing stories of their bad celebrity run-ins. I would like to think that I would take the money and gladly live that lifestyle. But at some point in time, I think you would get tired. You would get really exhausted by it to the point where a lot of times what you'll see is someone says, man, so-and-so is the biggest jerk in the world. And then you'll have other people that say, I've had nothing but good experiences with that person. And then you think, well, you just caught somebody on a bad day. Everybody has bad days.
Right.
And the one that goes back is always... made me smile is Dave Stewart of the Oakland A's, former general manager, not a very good one, of the Arizona Diamondbacks. A lot of people say, oh man, Dave Stewart, he's a jerk. I've met him two or three times, and every time that I've talked with him and had interactions with him, nicest guy in the world.
I had similar run-ins, but meetings with Prince Fielder. I kept hearing how
did you
much
have
of a
food?
Jerk that Prince Fielder was. And Prince Fielder might have been one of the nicest Major League Baseball players that I'd ever run into when I ran into him.
Now we've got people...
As long as you don't bring up his father.
Well, yeah, there we go. People on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line are now talking about their tree removal stories. Two trees, 7296, two trees removed, $3,000. Could have gone to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Or you could have invested that $3,000 with Jerry Ask and then turned the $3,000 into even more money, and then you could have the trees removed and go to Mexico. There is nothing worse than seeing, and that's when you own a home, that's all it is just writing, well, this is a dated term because no one uses checks anymore except for me. But just check after check after check. Just seeing that savings account drain and dwindle. Trees, man. 6:30. Phil Miller, Minneapolis Star Tribune, is going to be joining us shortly. But first, Kyle Mann with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Fran McCaffrey's Iowa basketball team learned today that it will face Louisiana in the opening game of the Cayman Islands Basketball Classic, which begins on November 20th. Other teams participating in that tournament will be South Dakota State, Wyoming, Richmond, UAB, Buffalo, and Cincinnati. Hawkeye players also found out who they would be paired with in the primetime league this summer, as the local summer league's draft was held last night. Tyler Cook will be teamed up with Dom Uhl, Nick Bear with Isaiah Moss, Jordan Bohannon with Ryan Kreener, Luca Garza with Mace Daly, Jack Nungi with Brady Ellingson, and Ahmad Wagner with Christian Williams. Jake Adams garnered yet another All-American honor today, being named a second-team All-American by D1Baseball.com. Adams was recognized as a designated hitter rather than a first baseman and now has six All-America distinctions. There are rumors swirling around the Iowa wrestling program regarding a potential transfer from 149-pounder Pat Lugo. Lugo has gone 63-18 and qualified for the NCAA championships twice in his 2 years at Edinburgh University in Pennsylvania. He told the Gazette's KJ Pilcher that he is leaning towards a transfer to Iowa. The Colonels lost last night 7-1 to the Quad Cities River Bandits, relinquishing their exclusive claim to first place in the division. They're now tied at the top with Kane County, with the River Bandits just 2 games back. They'll look to bounce back tonight in the rubber match with Clark Beaker on the mound, facing Gabriel Valdez. That game's about to get started right now.
You'll be happy to know this, Todd, but I pay my rent with checks.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad I'm not the only person under the age of 65 that's still writing a check. 5719, my wife pays all our bills with checks, and you could write a check out for a couple $100 and get yourself a chainsaw and a few buddies.
That sounds like a bad, bad, bad idea.
That sounds like a recipe for the tree winding up on the house one way or the other. Whether it's going to be a storm that blows it over or me fumbling around with a chainsaw. Not that I'm not okay with power tools and things like chainsaws and around the house, but that's a lot of work. Now you've put it into a different perspective. Now, is it worth it to pay someone else $1,000 so that I don't have to do the work?
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's $1,000. It doesn't grow on trees, especially in this instance. If it did, I wouldn't be cutting it down.
That just seems very dangerous, too. Not only for your house, but how many times have we heard on the news, oh, well, somebody was trying to cut down a tree and, well.
Here's the best part about the checks. You know me. I love shopping at Costco. So the last time that I needed checks, I ordered them from Costco. And I now have checks that will last me until I'm dead. I've got like 10 boxes of checks at home. But I got a good deal on it. It's the Costco mentality, man. 634. The Twins had a little bit of that with the first overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft earlier in the week. They saved some money by drafting a high school shortstop, Royce Lewis, but then they turned around and they used the money elsewhere. We're going to talk about the Twins draft and more with Phil Miller from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. He's going to join us coming up next. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM. Napa Know
How. Why should you grab Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil for $5.59 a quart at Napa? Two words, road trip. To see the biggest ball of twine or a crater shaped like Abe Lincoln. Because if your ride isn't running strong, all you're going to see is the side of the road. Valvoline Synthetic Oil, just $5.59 a quart. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 6/30/17.
Gentlemen, hurry into JCPenney's biggest sale of the season. Raise your game with great savings on menswear designed by Michael Strahan exclusively at JCPenney. Get 50% off suits, separates, and dress shirts from Collection by Michael Strahan. And up to 40% off MSX activewear, including big and tall. Save more with a coupon for $10 off when you spend $25 or more on select items. Hurry, and Sunday. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
Coupon valid 6/14 to 6/18. Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See store at jcp.com for details. Season 1st, 6/14 to 6/18.
When you're hiring for a growing business, you don't need lots of candidates. You need the right candidates. You need Indeed.com. With an algorithm that positions your job post where quality candidates are and screener questions that help you zero in on the best talent. Indeed.com, the site proven through an independent study to deliver 5 times more hires than any other. New users claim your $50 credit for a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
AutoZone presents Wash and Wax. Washing your car removes road grime and dirt buildup that can scratch your car's finish, while a good coat of wax helps protect that beautiful shine. And with summer right around the corner, it's the perfect time to pick up Armor All Protectant Wipes for just $3.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
I don't know what it is about the Cedar Rapids Colonels this season, but they have a tendency to be playing on nights where former WWE wrestlers are at the ballpark for the other team. They were in Kane County earlier this season, and Greg the Hammer Valentine was there along with, I believe, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. And tonight at Modern Woodman Park in Davenport, Booker T is in the house throwing out a first pitch. So for some of those guys on the Colonel's team that are big fans of pro wrestling, I'm sure they're enjoying this tour. It's kind of like when certain college teams wind up being everybody's homecoming opponent during the season. The Colonels are just in town on wrestling night.
Is there some kind of partnership between the Midwest League and professional wrestling? I feel like there have been a lot of former wrestlers that show up at Midwest League games.
Let's call our good friend Jeff Jarrett and see if we can get an answer to that. 319-366-1600. The Jerry Ask Investment Services text line.
One of our best friends for a couple days.
Yeah, till he didn't need us anymore. Let's head back to that phone line and bring our next guest on board, Phil Miller from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, joining us to talk a little bit about the Minnesota Twins. And Phil, the last several times that we've talked with you here on the program, we were anticipating this week and what the Twins would do with that first overall pick in the draft. And now we know. We got the answer. They drafted Royce Lewis, the high school shortstop, and then were able to use the money that they saved or will save elsewhere in the draft. How has the reception been in the Twin Cities for how the new front office regime handled this draft?
Well, I think it's decidedly mixed. A lot of people expected them to take Hunter Green, you know, for no other reason than he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So he must be the best player. And so when they went a different direction, and the scouts I talked to all assured me that the Twins did have Lewis rated higher than Green, purely on a baseball standpoint before you even get to the contract part, it makes sense for the Twins. You know, their big need is pitching, and college pitchers can get to the big leagues pretty quickly. So there was some thought that they might want to address that right away. Then there were some good pitchers. I thought they were going to take Kyle Wright, the Vanderbilt pitcher, the left-hander that ended up going fifth. But they are thinking long term, and you know, it's one benefit of having a new regime here that isn't trying necessarily to win the World Series next year. They're thinking about building a long term team. So the people who were behind that are in support of it, but I'd say the initial reaction was, but we wanted the Sports Illustrated guy.
What were some of the concerns besides the contract issues with Hunter Green in the Twins front office?
Well, he's just 18, and he can throw it 101 miles an hour, but that, you know, he's just 18. There's no track record of durability. There is no, you know, it's just a crapshoot. There's a lot of jokes about how they were going to draft him and send him for Tommy John surgery just to get it over with. I suppose that's probably where we are in baseball today. That is kind of how people think. I had a scout tell me that, you know, he is a shortstop and a pretty good hitter, but a scout told me he would not be a top 10 pick among position players if that was why he was on the board. You know, he was on the board because he can throw 100 miles an hour, and that's a risk.
Phil Miller joining us from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Twins, a 6-2 winner today over Seattle, 34-29, two games up on Cleveland in the AL Central. And they just continue to hang in there, don't they, Phil?
They do, and there are a lot of days where you wonder how they're doing it. Their run differential is horrid. They should be in last place by the numbers. They just have this bizarre habit of when they lose, they start giving up touchdowns. They're doing a good job of winning close games and lower scoring games, but their bullpen catches fire every once in a while, and there's some rubble there that they have to deal with. But when the hitting is at its best, as it has been a lot lately, they do have two quality big league starters in Irvin Santana and Jose Barrios. And, you know, they try to get by with what they can on the rest of it. So far, it's working. They've been very good on the road. They're very lucky that they're in a lousy division because, you know, they've been playing the Mariners this week, who very much resemble them. The Mariners are 14 games out because they were in a division with the Astros. The Twins are in first place because there is no Astros in this division.
I think a lot of people had hoped that this stint for Jose Barrios would be a turning point. Could you have imagined that it would be as successful for the young right-hander as it's been?
I thought going to spring training it might be, and then spring training kind of convinced me, oh, they might need to ease him in a little bit more. You know, he was distracted and left camp for 3 weeks because of the WBC. When he came back, it was clear that the 3 weeks away were not really – that helpful to him, and you know, he didn't make the team of, you know, on the basis of how he pitched and really nothing else. So when he came up, everyone was kind of holding their breath, but I would not have seen him take off like this year. Everyone kind of knew it was coming. You guys saw it when he was in the lower minors, but I would have thought it would have been another year, today's performance was really spectacular.
Speaking of taking off, Byron Buxton starting to show some signs of life at the plate. He homered the other night, got on base four times in the same game for the first time in his career. Is there reason to believe, albeit scant, that Byron Buxton may be sort of turning things on at just the right time for the team?
It depends on what your goals for him are this year. I don't think he's going to be the player you saw in Cedar Rapids this year where he's dominating games, but he is slowly coming around. You know, the Twins knew when he drafted him that he was a five-tool player, but the one tool that he had trouble with was hitting for average, and it has been slow in coming, but you're right. He is slowly, methodically digging himself out of the hole. He was below 200 in April and May, but he's slowly climbed above it. I do think it is a turning point, and you know, the nice thing for him is he is such a great outfielder. He's a fielder that fans that don't watch the game every day can look at and go, wow, he is really good out there. He's been so good that the Twins have been happy to just bat him ninth and let him catch the fly balls because he's the pitching staff's best friend.
We're just about a month and a half from the trade deadline, and it's interesting for the Minnesota Twins because you brought it up, because they're in the middle of what is a long and a kind of a planned out rebuild. So the question is, when are we going to kind of get an idea as to whether the Twins are going to be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I don't know. 2 days before would be my guess, maybe. They're in a really precarious position. Irvin Santana has built up his value to a degree they couldn't have imagined before the season. He's having one of the best years of his career. There will be a lot of teams bidding on him. He's 34 years old, 1 year left on his contract. By all common sense, they need to trade him. But they didn't expect to find themselves in first place in June. They didn't expect to find themselves playing for first place against the Indians this weekend, even though he's not going to pitch, which is a little odd. But, I think that they need to be sellers. I think that as good as Irvin Santana has been, you know, the clock is ticking. They really need to cash in those chips. But I just don't know if they can do it if they're in first place or within a game or two of it.
What would the reaction be among most of the fans if they decided that close to the trade deadline? They're still in the position that they're in right now, but they would move Santana. What would the fans do?
Oh, it would be, there'd be a revolt. They are trying desperately to win fans back. They are definitely selling that this turnaround is for real, that last year was the outlier, that they really are improving, that the young guys are improving. And it is really true to some extent, whether or not it's a first-place team right now. They just don't have the depth of pitching to get there. And it sounds counterintuitive to say, well, then they should trade their best pitcher. But, you know, he's 34. He's not getting any younger. The pitchers this age tend to fall off a pretty steep cliff. It would not be popular, and it's a new regime. I don't know that that they would have the stomach to do it. I guess we'll find out.
You talked about the run differential and a lot of the stats pointing at a direction where you would think that the Twins would be a little bit further down the standings. And one statistic I look at has been their record at home. What have been the struggles at home for this team? 14-20 on the season.
Yeah, it has been an ongoing problem, and it's pretty mystifying to them because one of the real positives is how well they've played on the road, and that is not generally characteristic of a young team. That's what they're using as a measure, as these guys are improving, these guys are maturing. But then they get home, and things have really gone haywire. You know, one problem they've had is they had four-game series against the Red Sox and, I guess, three against the Astros here. Those are two of the three best teams probably in the league at the moment, and they made them look especially bad. Then that has been a little tough for them to rebound, but it hasn't just been those teams. Paul Molitor gets asked about this every day, and, you know, he thinks that at some point it became – stuck in their mind that we've got to do better, and that's the exact opposite approach to take, he says. Slowly they're turning it around. I guess we'll see this weekend if they've really managed to figure out how to win at home.
Phil, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, guys. Good talking to you.
Phil Miller from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Give him a follow on Twitter for all things Twins related. Fantastic columnist, usually providing some great insight into the Twins organization, and you want to put yourself in the position of a first-time general manager five and a half weeks from now with a team that plays in a relatively weak division, and you're perilously hanging it on to first place, and your fans are going to expect you to be buyers, and what makes the best long-term sense for your team's future is to actually be a seller when it comes to your best pitcher or second best pitcher, depending on how you view Irvin Santana. That is a tough ask in that situation for Derek Falvey and Thad Levine, but I think you've got to do what you've got to do.
Exactly.
And look, if they're a couple games over 500 and they've got a two-game lead on the Indians or whoever's in second place at the trade deadline, I think you make the deal.
You do.
And you put up with that blowback from the fan base, and whether or not attendance suffers and whether or not you take some slings and arrows from some of the other media members there in the Twin Cities, and boy, they can cut deep when they're upset with how their local teams are doing. You got to do what you got to do. And I make that move if I'm them. Now, who knows? In 5 weeks, maybe they turn things on and they start to pull away, or maybe they fall back to the pack and back to reality, which maybe makes that move a little bit easier to pull off or execute at that point. But right now, just sort of hanging around and fans look at the standings, hey, we're in first place. Yes, but. And the but right there is what's ultimately going to catch up, I think, with the Twins.
Well, I think that Phil hit the nail on the head. This is a team, I don't think that their success this year is sustainable. And if it is, I don't see this as a team that is going to win in the playoffs if they get that far. And I know baseball is a crapshoot, but 14-20 at home. They're not going to continue to play well on the road. So you have to ask yourself, which is the aberration, the poor play at home or the great play on the road? And judging by the minus 24 run differential, this is a team that is still it's still rebuilding. You talked about it last year with their record. They weren't as bad as they looked last year. I don't think they're as good as they look this year. They're somewhere in the middle. They're somewhere to the point where they're still stockpiling draft picks, still trying to get that farm system built up to the point where they have some players for the future. They have some nice young pieces. There's no doubt about that. I think Jose Berríos is going to be, I think if he can stay healthy, he could be an ace for a long time for that team. And Ervin Santana, if someone offers up a king's ransom for him, you have to take it regardless of where you are in the standings.
Travis Blankenhorn, whom you heard from at 5 o'clock tonight on the program, his fourth triple in the last three games, helping to get things started for the Cedar Rapids Colonels tonight in Davenport. They've got a 2-0 lead on the Quad Cities River Bandits. We'll give you a further update and more on our final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. It's just seconds away here on KGYM. Kyle will rejoin us in the studio. Final time today, we step aside. Welcome back and bring you back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010. 1-800-758-2010.
Welcome back to the KGYM studios on a sunny southwest side of Cedar Rapids. The 106.3 FM South Gym frequency, 107.5 FM North Gym frequency, and historic 1600 AM frequency, all on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, at least for the next couple minutes here. And we can't get out the door on a Thursday night without one last Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Fran McCaffrey's Iowa basketball team learned earlier today that it will face Louisiana in the opening game of the Cayman Islands Basketball Classic, which begins on November 20th. Other teams participating in that tournament are South Dakota State, Wyoming, Richmond, UAB, Buffalo, and Cincinnati. Hawkeye players also found out who they'd be paired with in the Primetime League this summer, as the local summer league's draft was held last night. Tyler Cook will be teamed up with Dom Uhl, Nick Bear with Isaiah Moss, Jordan Bohannon with Ryan Kreener, Luca Garza with Mace Daly, Jack Nungi with Brady Ellingson, and Ahmad Wagner with Christian Williams. Jake Adams garnered yet another All-American honor today, being named a second-team All-American by D1Baseball.com. Adams was recognized as a designated hitter rather than a first baseman, and now has six All-America distinctions. There are rumors swirling around the Iowa wrestling program regarding a potential transfer from 149-pounder Pat Lugo. Lugo has gone 63-18 and qualified for the NCAA championships twice in his 2 years at Edinburgh University in Pennsylvania. He told the Gazette's KJ Pilcher that he is leaning towards a transfer to Iowa. The Colonels lost last night 7-1 to the Quad Cities River Bandits, relinquishing their exclusive claim to first place in the division. They're now tied at the top with Kane County, with the River Bandits just two games back. They're trying to bounce back tonight in the rubber match with Clark Beaker on the mound. And Todd told you just a little bit ago, that game is 2-0.
And Jalen Davis with an RBI single helping to make it 2-0. Their Colonels back in action tomorrow night, taking on the Clinton Lumber Kings, Z102.9 Mug Club night. Stop on out and say hi to our friends from Z102.9. Enjoy those $3 refills once you purchase your first mug at the beginning of the game. Or if you bought one earlier in the year, you can bring it back and get it refilled right from the start for $3. Lots of baseball action on tap tonight around the majors. White Sox are already in the books, as are the Twins. Cardinals getting ready to take on the Brewers tonight. The series finale there. Cubs are off. The Cubs head to Pittsburgh to open up a series with the Pirates tomorrow at PNC Park. Eddie Butler and Trevor Williams will be the pitching matchup. Should Anthony Rizzo stay atop the Cubs lineup as the leadoff hitter? That's the Emil's Hideaway poll question at KGYMradio.com today. Vote early, vote often, and find Emil's on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Cardinals and Brewers right now tied at two runs apiece in the bottom of the second inning.
We're going to have a loaded show tomorrow from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square development at 435. Former Primetime League player and Iowa player Mike Gazelle will join us, and then the Primetime League director Randy Larson will join us at 5, followed by Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy head baseball coach, for Touching All Bases. And of course, we can't get through a Friday show without Love It or Leave It.
Love It or Leave It coming up tomorrow, as well as you mentioned, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard, the KGYM road trip driven by Lender Tire. Stop on in and maybe you can walk away with a KGYM pint glass or $5 gift certificate, which goes a long way during happy hour. Plenty to talk about on the program tomorrow, as well as what's going on in the world of sports. The congressional baseball game being played tonight at the Nationals Park in Washington, D.C., between the Democrats and the Republicans, as scheduled, raising a ton of money for a charity after yesterday's shooting. Never in doubt that they were going to play that. You can actually watch that game. They're streaming it on MLB.com. So something to keep in mind tonight. And something else to keep in mind tonight, the back of your minds, most of the listening area here in eastern Iowa will be under a severe thunderstorm watch until about 1 o'clock in the morning. That'll do it for a Thursday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Join us tomorrow for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire from Iowa City.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Hey, Dave, why is the other Dave...
And make sure this isn't...